are at Aviation Gateway Park in the drone cage, inside the drone cage, with Manny Francis, who is the Drone Media Group leader, and he has some friends of his here that have a cool story, and that's, you brought a guy named Ryan to talk to us now, didn't you?
That's right. Up next is Ryan McMaster. He's got a company called Volant Productions, and he's part of Drone Media Group as well. Ryan's subject material is a hot topic here at AirVenture this year because Ryan was introduced to traditional aviation through unmanned aerial vehicles. And we talk a lot about what is the place of drones, what is the place of unmanned aerial vehicles in this traditional world of aviation. And there's a lot of debate about where drones come in, where they play. Ryan has a unique story to tell, and he's now smitten with the world of manned aviation. All he wants to do is go look at planes. It's like pulling teeth to get him to show off the drones now. So Ryan's got a
great... someone who's smitten.
Smitten with the planes. I think many pilots here would actually appreciate the remark. But Ryan, why don't you tell us what brought you here and what you love about this show?
Thank you, Manny. Well, I have to say I got into drones out of just being interested in them and wanting to do it and wanting to fly, and it turned into this, you know, like Lisa said, with the 333, you have to have a pilot's license. So, okay, cool. I have to have a pilot's license? Great. I did have some struggles at first, unfortunately. A lot of the CFIs in my area were not really too cool with it. They said, no, you're a drone pilot. You're not even a pilot. You're a drone person. We don't want to teach you. I thankfully found a wonderful CFI by the name of John Brown. He has 12,000 hours, and it's been an absolute joy flying with him. Remember the first day I soloed, he said it's something I'll remember for the rest of my life, and I still have dreams about it. It was about a month and a half, 2 months ago now. Yeah.
Everyone remembers their first solo.
It was funny. It was a packed airfield that day, too, and everybody broke protocol. And, oh, congratulations, great job, 3-4 Yankee. You did it. You soloed. And it was a really good feeling. And
How did you originally get into drone flying? Like in the very beginning, like that led you up this path.
It was everywhere. I wanted to get into it. I wanted to look at it. I love building stuff. So I built a bunch of small hobby UAVs and just was like, cool, this is awesome. Great.
Did you teach yourself to fly them?
Yes. I taught myself how to fly them. And one of the things I did is I took a POH from a Cessna 162, which eventually became the plane I actually trained in.
Skycatcher.
Yep. Yeah. It's a great little plane. It's a bummer they don't make it anymore. And I looked through that and I saw what they, you know, required to fly this plane. And I was like, oh, well, you need to maintain the motor, and every X number of hours you need to do this, 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 and this. And so eventually I broke that down and applied it to my drones. And then once I had all that data, you know, and the 333s came out, I was like, oh, wow. I'm like, you know, other than the pilot's license, I'm pretty much there. Yeah, so
now, when you started flying drones, you said hobby. Did you go to a store like Horizon Hobby and buy your drones?
Initially, yeah, I went to a local hobby store in Reno. We don't; they're all privately owned there. We don't have a lot of big chains. And I just, you know, I grabbed some motors, grabbed some ESCs, grabbed a radio, and started flying.
So how do you do that? I mean, if you said you taught yourself, is there an instruction manual, a quick start
guide?
No,
that's a big, and unfortunately, that's a big problem right now. There is really no guide. When you get into this, you don't have any real training and instruction, and I think that's what scared a lot of the CFIs who didn't want to train me.
Sounds like a good direction for Drone Media Group to go in. Unfilled hole.
Jeff, you're a key.
Jeff makes a very good point. And, you know, the really interesting thing in getting into it is now that I've gotten in demand aviation and now that, you know, all I got to do is my check ride now, which is, you know, it's the 28th. I'm really excited.
It'll be fine. Yeah.
You know, it's really exciting to see, like, all the possibilities. This is my first year at Oshkosh and, you know, going to look at the planes and be like, wow, you know, I want this Pilatus PC-12 and this.
And who doesn't? Yeah.
And it's 206. You know, but seeing all these planes, you know, it's actually even really got my gears turning as to what real applications that manned and unmanned aviation can do. And as the technology progresses, where we're going to be, where we're going to be having manned aircraft work with small unmanned aircraft to make the world a safer and better place.
Cool, cool. So we have Horizon Hobby with us. It would be a store like where you went and bought your first thing. It seems to me that the hobby store in some way would have somebody on staff that knows something about drones to help somebody get going in the right direction. Thank you, Ryan, by the way, for sharing your story with us.
Thanks, Ryan. Really appreciate hearing it. Horizon Hobby actually isn't a hobby shop. They're a manufacturer. We've got a local hobby shop called Hobby Town, which is here in Oshkosh.
Sure, that's a chain.
That's right.
They're all over.
And they sell Horizon Hobby products. One of the most popular Horizon Hobby product is the Blade. Horizon is a great manufacturer of a wide span of drones. They've got the $20 ones, and they've got sophisticated camera drones like this Blade Chroma. Horizon Hobby is also exhibiting right here in the Innovation Center. And Jeff, I wanted to point out to our radio audience what we've got here in the Innovation Center.
Yeah, please do.
Right over Jeff's shoulder, we've got bleachers inside with windows facing out on the drone cage. So those folks that are here at AirVenture this year are able to sit in the air conditioning.
We keep that in mind for tomorrow when it's going to be 90 degrees and 90% humidity.
I think we'll
You're going to be busy tomorrow.
I think we'll be crowded in the Innovation Center tomorrow. Horizon Hobby is
bleachers there.
They give a great demo. I'm going to hand the mic over to Steve from Horizon Hobby, and these guys are going to show us what the Blade Chroma can
do. Cool. It's a very cool-looking thing, and I really like the little noises his little thing makes over there when he plays with it.
Yeah. It's
like bleep, 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 bleep. It's very futuristic.
Can't quite do Mary Had a Little Lamb yet, but he's getting there. All right.
What are we going to see?
Well, we're going to be demonstrating the all-new Blade Chroma. Now, this is a $1,100 camera drone. And it's going to be great for anyone who is a first-time drone pilot or even someone who's more advanced like myself and Colby here. Why don't you go ahead and place it on the ground here. So we have the cool thing about the Chroma is that there are so many flight modes to choose from. It's a very versatile camera drone. You have a beginner mode, which we'll show you first. We call that smart mode. Now, smart mode doesn't require the pilot to be very smart. So the drone does all the work for you. Now, then he takes off in smart mode. He has a protective barrier around him, so all he has to do is push the left stick up, and it will take off. So now he has a safety circle. If he pulls the stick all the way back, it's actually not going to come any closer to him. Right now, he's pulling that right stick all the way back, and it's actually not going to come towards him. That's because it's got a barrier around him as the pilot. Also, you've got the sticks. If he pushes away from himself, the Chroma will fly away. If he pushes left, it'll go left. If he pushes right, it'll go right. Even if he's nose in, let's go ahead and turn the camera towards us. If he pushes away from himself, it'll go away. Right is always right. We call that stick relativity, which makes it really easy for the first-time pilot. They don't need to learn orientations that you would need to learn as an advanced pilot.
This is a little different than the other ones the guys had in that the video display is actually built into the controller.
Yep.
And it's crystal clear.
Yeah, so there's a full telemetry readout and a video display. It's on an Android-based tablet built into the radio. So you have your video, your ground speed, airspeed, how much battery life you have left, what mode you're in, how many satellites you're talking to. There's a lot of information there. And then if he switches into the other flight mode, we call it AP mode, this is going to give him full radio control. It's not going to have that stick relativity, but it's going to allow Colby to fly around as a controlled pilot and not have any of those protective features on there. So it gives you full control. Again, we're still going to have GPS and altitude hold. If he lets go of the sticks, it's going to park where he left it and maintain that position. So it's a pretty windy day out here. Most of you guys outside can attest to that. And it will just park itself right there.
You can park it and go get a beer.
You could. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend drinking while flying, though. That's probably not the best thing to do. But you could. I'd usually say you could pick up the phone and take a phone call and let it do a thing. We'll let the Raptor fly by here.
Yeah, it's that airport came back. So the park mode, you could park it to text or do whatever you need to do, and it's just going to stay right there, huh?
Yeah, it'll remain in that position until you tell it to otherwise. So it's going to fight to maintain position, even if in a stiff crosswind, it'll stay right where you left it. So he'll just hold the radio up, and it will stay where you put it.
Huh. Oh, does it have something to do with the position of your controller?
No.
You say hold the radio up.
No, he's just trying to show the crowd here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah, and so he's got controls on the radio for taking a picture, taking video. He's got a slider for his camera to look up and down. And again, you can make sure that shot is being taken right from your radio. Some other cool features of this is we have a follow me mode. So if he puts it in the follow me mode, he can walk around with the Chroma, and the Chroma will follow him.
Show us that.
He'll have to land it real quick and then switch it into that flight mode.
Oh, you have to do it on the ground.
Yeah, so what it needs to do is it needs to verify that it has a solid GPS lock and that the radio has a solid GPS lock. So it'll go into that mode right now, and it'll need to reallocate GPS, so he'll have to wait to start it. Now it's got GPS again, so he can go ahead and start it up. Now he can determine how far away he wants it from himself. Just place it there, make sure not to hit the pole here. Usually this is best done in an open area. And now if he moves left or right with him with his radio, the chroma is going to follow him. Now he's not doing anything. It's just noticing the movement of that radio, and it's going to follow the direction of that radio.
Wow. That's some pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, really cool stuff.
That's some neat technology. So just follow him around like a bad relative.
That's right, or an ex-girlfriend.
Stalking drone.
That's right. And so at any time, if he just take control, he can do that, or he can even hit return home, and the chroma will fly right back to where he took off from and land itself.
Really?
Yep.
Even if it had a pretty intricate path, it'll follow back the same path?
It won't follow the path, but it'll follow the direct line quickest to that path. So, yeah, it goes up to about 60 meters, flies back to the home point, and lands itself, so you don't have to worry about anything.
Wow, that's cool.
So anyway, it's one of the most easy to use, versatile drones out
there. I keep saying that because it just is. It's just very fascinating. And what are some other features here? What is the hardest thing about learning to fly this blade drone?
What do you think, Colby? One of the hardest things to learn about flying?
I would say, honestly, I mean, flying in good conditions is really important. I think a lot of people go out when the conditions aren't right and they get in trouble.
They get discouraged.
Right, then. Discouraged from it. Go out in a nice big open area where you got a lot of space. I think that's the best way to start flying these things.
Uh-huh. That's good advice for sure. But overall, this is very easy to do. What were you going to show us here?
Agility and stability modes on the chroma.
Okay. So real quick, if you could show us, so let's go into stability mode. This is going to give the pilot now even more control, faster control of the chroma.
We have about a minute left.
Yeah, so we can show you. So he's got much faster aggressive flight control now. Of course, we're still in a cage here, so he's going to have to be careful not to hit anything. But we're allowed to fly a much more aggressive product.
Yeah,
so
you need that to keep really up with
something.
Around.
You can really keep up with a car or a jet ski or someone on a bicycle. And then if he really wants to put it into agility mode, usually we don't do this with the camera on because we're strapped for time. I'm sure he can do it. But now it has no bank angle limitations. He could do flips and rolls, but it also doesn't have any self-leveling. So it makes it really aggressive for the more advanced pilot.
Wow, that's
so a
really
very
cool
product.
Well, thank you very much, guys.
Absolutely.
Horizon
thank
Hobby
you.
Showing us their very awesome blade drone. J-Mont G, we are on the fly at the drone cage. That's about it for today. Tomorrow we will be headed to the seaplane base for a very relaxing afternoon, so we'll see you all out there tomorrow. Have a great one. Enjoy AirVenture 2015. You're listening to EAA Radio.